Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, let's start off with the nice moves that we are seeing right now in the precious metals, even copper moving up today. U.S. markets are also moving higher, but I think the real story here is gold futures contract right at $1,800 right now. That's up almost $20. We have on the spot market, gold's up to about $1,786. Overall, this close where it looks like gold could close for this month, for this quarter, this is very strong. And a lot of this move has just come in the last hour or so. Chris, what are your thoughts on just how strong the metals are right now?
Well, look, gold from time to time for a while now has been attempting to decisively break overhead resistance at $1,775 an ounce, give or take a little bit. Today is the best effort yet. Interestingly, it's on a day when everything is kind of melting up. So I have just a teeny bit of skepticism because just like the stock market is rallying today, though it shouldn't, because all of these money managers want to show what geniuses they were and on June 30th is the quarter and first 6 months ended and show they were invested. That's probably part of gold's move as well. The difference between the two is that, looking a little farther out, I think gold's move will be more durable than that for the general stock market. But for today, everybody's a hero, whether you're buying gold, silver, copper, or stocks.
How much does this have to do with end of the quarter, end of the half year, end of the month window dressing, do you think?
Well, like I just said, I think the majority of the factor where the stock market is concerned, a minority factor, however, where gold is concerned, because gold has been trying to break out for a while. There's a lot of fundamental reasons to do it, like I explain in my current issue, as well as a redo, an update of my special issue from earlier this year entitled "This Is Not Your Father's Gold Market," which will be out this weekend.
So, Chris, when it comes to this breakout in gold, let's call 1800 this breakout, if it does hold this level, do you have any higher targets that you think this opens the door up for the precious metal?
Well, the most immediate one, because there's really nothing else in the way, Corey, is that we go perhaps quite quickly to the all-time high, a little over $1,900 from back in 2011. This area we've been chopping around in for the last couple of months or so is really the last major technical chart level between right now and that 1910 to 1920 level where gold hit its nominal all-time high. So I think that if we get a close that's strong and the momentum starts to add to it, you're going to get the generalist investors. They're going to pile on, or then they're going to, I think, do it in a hurry.
So any significance if we look at GDX and the fact that it still is not quite above that even recent high back in the middle of May of about 37.50, GDX currently trading 36.63. Do you think that it's just a matter of time before the stocks also get dragged even higher?
Yes, I said this to you several days ago, if and when we do finally get this breakout and you start to see some momentum and increased volume into gold, the generalist investors will pile on, and the first place they go is to GDX, GDXJ, the Newmonts, the Barricks, the Agnicos, etc. The better junior stories will go along. And in fact, what's been really cool in recent days, and several of them on my own recommended list, a lot of juniors, a lot of explorers have just been going nuts in the last several trading days, way better than gold or the majors, either one of them. So I think that though when the generalist investors come in, you'll see GDX and GDX exceed their highs. And I'm kicking around the idea of getting even heavier with my recommendations, including back into those ETFs on top of the increased number of individual recommendations I've got to play this move. Because, again, I'm quite convinced that if we get a good verified breakout here and everybody starts talking about it, we're going to see a sprint another $150 or maybe $200 higher that will take weeks, maybe days.
So is this then just a rally for, let's say, the juniors that you hold? Because I've even noticed what you just said there, that the juniors are really starting to move aggressively too. Is this simply just a hold strategy for investors? Don't get too cute here. Just ride this bullish wave higher?
I wouldn't get cute with good individual companies because I believe that we're still in a long-term bullish phase for gold. I would, however, if I were to advocate again, getting into the leveraged bullion ETFs or GDX or GDXJ or even, hold your breath, a nugget or a JNUG, you know, kind of thing, which are still broken, all right? So this is especially true with those. All of that other stuff to me would be trades. I would not advocate getting back into GDX necessarily for a long-term move. If I'm correct in my, you know, the way I'm seeing things right now, and we get a really fast sprint higher, you know, it won't take an awful long time for GDX to go from where it is now back to its own all-time high from 2011. At which point, I'd be considering getting right back out of it. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Okay, quick comment on copper too, because copper has rebounded nicely from that March washout. It went almost the whole way down to $2, about 208, and now it's the whole way up to 274. Still not into the highs of even this year, which was about 280, 284. What's this trade into copper? Is this too much optimism coming into copper regarding an economic restart?
In that case, I do believe it is. I would not be advocating general moves into copper. You know, I've got a few of the stocks on my list are producing copper as well as gold, or they're exploring for copper as well as gold. My long-term view of copper is bullish, but there's too many things in the way right now, unlike with gold. And if I'm correct in my fairly pessimistic view of where most risk assets go from here as we reach the mid-year point, I do not see copper holding these gains any more than I see the stock market generally holding its gains. We're going into an election season here in the U.S. that's going to make 2016 look like a tea social or an ice cream social in comparison. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be caustic. There's going to be all kinds of fear-mongering. There's going to be more virus headaches to come and all of the rest of this. And especially when we now see a few fairly stalwart Republican allies of President Trump that are warning that, you know what, maybe he is going to lose. And you see former Vice President Biden, and potentially President Biden out just this morning saying that as far as he's concerned, the first order of business for him is to roll back most of President Trump's tax cuts. Wall Street's not going to like that. And so I think that as all of those things take hold, as we go between now and November, Corey, if the stock market starts to fall out of bed and there's worries about growth and stuff like that, I don't see copper holding up in that, or silver, or the general stock market.
Yeah, fair enough. And now that we are halfway through the year with, man, just so much news that happened and so much volatility, it was an unexpected first 6 months, and now the next 6 months, well, we don't know what's going to happen with the virus. We don't know what's going to happen with potentially more shutdowns, and then the election. So just as you outlined there, Chris, these are some of the main drivers. Anything else on your radar that you think could also cause some volatility that needs to be noted for investors?
Well, here again, one of the reasons, and I'll stick with copper for just a second to answer that, Corey. China has been a bit more of an aggressive buyer of late with copper. That's number one. They have done many times over the years, they try and buy things themselves when they're cheap, whether they need it or not. They did it recently with oil. That's one of the things that helped oil's rally. But that's not going to last forever, number one. Number two, as I've said before in relation to China more broadly, you're going to have a lot of bad blood between the U.S. and China. And we already know that President Trump is going to turn increasingly more hawkish at some point between now and Election Day. Whether he means it or not is a different matter. I do believe he will come out and say what Peter Navarro did several days ago, and that both of them walked back, and that is, look, China has reneged on phase one. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have a deal. And the only way we're going to get a deal back on the table and have something verifiable that we can hold China's feet to the fire on, along with other things, is if you reelect me, because China Joe is their buddy. And, you know, China Joe will have to respond and say, oh, no, I don't like their human rights record either. And I agree with the Senate now reclassifying Hong Kong special status and attacking China that way. So they could end up trying to outdo each other on bashing China. And that's not going to do sentiment and the global economy and risk assets a whole hell of a lot of good either. So besides the general pessimistic view I have on how much everybody has gotten in front of the kind of a V-shaped recovery that we're just not going to have. Okay. I think that what could make that worse is if we see the bellicosity between the U.S. and China ramp up, and it's virtually guaranteed to happen where Trump is concerned as he tries to play that card, and appropriately so, as he goes for re-election. And whether Biden pushes back or tries to outdo him on the law and order, at least where China's concerned, could really mess things up as far as people's optimism of the end of all of this trade angst and geopolitical angst and the rest of it.
All right. Yeah, man, oh man, there's a lot that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this year, and which will most likely cause a lot of volatility, but this presidential election, it's going to get ugly very soon, I think. It already is ugly, but fact of the matter is it could very easily start to take over some people's minds and a lot of market moves. Chris, interesting comments. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. Today is going to be interesting to see where, I think especially, the precious metals close the day. Have a great rest of your day, Chris. Chat with you later this week.
And you too, and a happy early Canada Day tomorrow for you and for all of our Canadian listeners and friends out there. I know the markets are closed in Canada tomorrow. I think everything is closed here on Friday. I'm not altogether sure. I know that that's why, as I said last week, they're doing the June employment report on Thursday as opposed to Friday. But whether you're celebrating Canada Day or Independence Day, a strange time to be doing it in strange circumstances, happy either one of them to all of you.
Thanks, Chris. Same to you.